Well, good morning. Greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It was a blessing to hear all those testimonies. I enjoyed that a lot. And Brother Victor, I'm not one bit offended. I appreciate what you bring to the table. I'll be honest, I was going about my day and some preparations for this morning, and I was looking at those pictures that were coming. And I don't know if I uttered this, but numerous times I told myself, that's where I belong. And so I take to heart what you had to share. And I did see that man, I think, that you're referring to in some of the pictures. And I looked at that and I thought, is he with the group or is he from the city? So it was a blessing to hear. You know, I think there is overcoming strength. The scripture says they're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I think it's a blessing when we have the opportunity and we utilize the opportunities that God gives us. It doesn't have to be New York City, but it's a blessing. And so I appreciate you all sharing this morning the overflow of what happened in New York yesterday. And I'm very thankful how God protected you. And it's quite an awesome testimony of your wife praying right over that time. It's such a blessing and a faith builder when we see those kind of things. And you know, it ought to be a motivator for us to pray more. To pray more. So God bless you all for sharing. Victor, I'm not getting rid of this because it's not important or that I'm offended. I figured there could be a lot of sharing this morning, and part of me felt like going to New York because I wasn't sure how it was going to go. And so with what I shared, I tailored it in such a way that I could, because I think it's going to be an ongoing subject that I'd like to look at and maybe have a couple different messages on this subject. And so this morning I have it tailored such as I don't plan to keep you here real long and have an extra long service. So I'll just tell you that right up front for whatever it's worth. But I'd like to put a word up here on the board. Life. This morning I'd like to talk about life. 2 weeks ago, our Sunday morning service was changed because I was by the bedside of my dad, because we knew that his life was about over. This morning we had a change of our service because Carl is right now, as we speak, by the bedside of someone whose life is possibly coming to a close. In fact, he sent me this text not real long ago. He says, please pray for David Hammond, if I'm pronouncing it right, family. Tina, his young mother of four, ages range from 3 to 10, with untreatable stage 4 breast cancer. She's near death's door. And then he goes on to say more. Did I read her name as Tina? Tina, yes, is the mother. Carl's asking us to pray for Tina. We're considering the subject this morning of life. Brother Victor shared, he went to a funeral this week. Life. Why don't we take a moment to pray for this Tina? Why don't we stand for a change of position? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you this morning for the grace of God. We thank you this morning for answered prayer. We thank you for the testimonies of the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ being able to go to a dark, dark place yesterday, and for the overflow of that, and for the joy, and for the blessing. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And Lord, we thank you that for those that went to New York to sow seeds. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring the increase in your time. Work in the hearts and souls of the many that heard and watched and wondered. Lord, we commit them to you, and we also pray now as we consider this subject of life and realize that as we are here, there is a Tina who is hanging between life and death. And Lord, as the prayer request went out to pray for yet a miracle, and we know that you're a miracle working God. And we just ask, Lord, that you would extend your grace, be with these four children, be with the husband, be with the parents, be with Carl and Esther. And Lord, we do ask you for a miracle, if it might be within your will, yet at this late hour. Yet, as you prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. And so, Lord, we pray for your grace in that situation, and we pray that your will would be done. And Lord, we choose to be at rest and recognize the sovereign hand of God is in charge and in control of these situations. And so, Father, I pray as we consider this subject of life and what our life is, that you would bless our time together. We commit our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So, life is interesting. Life is interesting. You know, as James says, life is but a vapor, and we sometimes talk about the dash in life. And so I'd like to start off this morning just looking a bit at life and what life is, and yet recognizing that all of us sitting here this morning are among the living. We're experiencing life and the blessing that life is. You know, my dad, he passed away week before last at 77 years old, I think he was. And Carl and Esther by the bedside of a young lady this morning, I'm going to guess based on the ages of her children, possibly 30 to 40 year old range. And it seems that life is being snuffed out. The man, the funeral that you went to, I'm supposing was a relatively young man. And we never know when life is going to be snuffed out. There was a month or two ago in our local community, there was a young boy, a child was backed over. And just like that, life is gone. And so life is very interesting. The oldest man that I think I ever knew was 104 years old, died not that long ago here at the Lincoln home. And we don't know what God's allotted time is for life, but life is something that's precious. And so I'd just like to begin here a bit to lay the foundation. And this is, my title this morning is, What is Your Life? What is your life? This burden came to me this week as I was considering a message for this Sunday, and what is your life? And we find that in James chapter 5. In fact, why don't you turn there? We'll start off there, and then we're going to go to Genesis. James chapter 5. I'm sorry, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 read this. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? There we have the title. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, as we look at the context of this scripture and the question is actually answered, it says, what is life? Life is even as a vapor, which appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And I suppose those of us that are getting older in life, we look at life a bit different than what some of the younger ones do. Some of the younger ones looking ahead at life ahead, and it seems that it's very likely outside of an intervention that there'll be a long life ahead of us. And then it's us that are getting mid-age and older. We're starting to look back and realizing how short life really is. And that's just how life works. That's one of life's realities. But as the scripture says here, it's but a vapor. And even though I've chosen this for a title, I'm taking it a little bit more in a different line of thinking or context, other than it's good for us to recognize that's how life is. That's how life is. But you know, all of us are equal in this sense that we have one life to live. And that's the question I'm asking us this morning. What is our life? What is our life? And we're going to talk more about that then. But let's just go to the book of Genesis a bit and lay a bit of a foundation about this thing of life and look at the sanctity of life. And you know, I talked about, and you can go to Genesis chapter 2. You can turn there a while. But you know, I talked about life being a vapor, life being a dash. And you know, because of our godless, more increasing godless society that we live in, And those of you that were in New York and what this march was all about and women's rights and all those kind of things, we recognize that there's many, many lives that are snuffed out before they're even born. And that's sad. And it just seems like we're more and more in a culture where our culture is more and more becoming godless, that there's less and less value put on life and what life is and the sanctity of life. And we see it here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So there we see the sanctity of life. God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then we see the perfection of God. It says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every fruit, every tree that is pleasant in his sight, and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So there we see God's perfection, and we see the two trees there in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and also the tree of life. And then we go down to verse 15 through 17. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. In the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And there we see God giving a simple, basic command to mankind. And we see what mankind did. If we go to Genesis 3 and we know the story, well, then we have the latter part of Genesis 2 there. God takes a rib from Adam and makes woman. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, it says, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the tree. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God says, Ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband, with her, and he did eat. And then it says, the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." As the result was quite different than Adam and Eve had expected. Instead of gaining superior knowledge that made them equal with God, they gained awareness or knowledge of their guilt and shame and condemnation, and were driven forever from the tree of life, which they would have lived forever. And then we have Genesis 3:15, which is an incredible promise given to mankind. It says, "And God will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And that speaks of the Redeemer that's to come. So mankind was driven from the Garden of Eden and from the Tree of Life. And then I'd like to just make reference, and you can turn to the last chapter in the Bible. Man is driven from the tree of life. And once again, in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 22 and verse 2, we again see this beautiful tree of life. It says, "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare all manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." And then if we go to verse 14 of 22, it says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into that city." So we see that the plan of that, the original plan that God had for mankind in the beautiful garden where he could live eternally, those plans were thwarted. And we see that through the entire Bible, where man in his own ways, rejecting the law of God and just making a mess of things, and then and then God moving. And here we have, and we realize that God's plan of restoration, salvation through Jesus Christ is a beautiful plan. I'd like to think a little bit more about life. In fact, I'm going to write this here. I really don't have dyslexia. I just wrote backwards there for a little bit. What is your life? That is a question that I'd like for us to be asking ourselves this morning. And I'd like to be considering this morning, what is your life? When we think of life, and we all have one opportunity to live life. And what is our life? What is our life? Death has a way of impressing on us the seriousness of life. At least it does me. When we walk by the casket of a loved one who's gone, what is life? All of a sudden, what is life? What is really important in our life? What is really important in our life? You know, it feels different. And some of you experienced this already. I don't want to elaborate a lot on it. But all of a sudden, to be in life without a dad, it's very different. And I'm only beginning to appreciate, in the absence of my dad, some of the character that was there and some of the impact that he had that was there. In fact, maybe I should tell you this story. My mom told me, as I stopped in this week to talk to her, my mom told me, and I saw this at the viewing, lots and lots of people came. And I saw a number of Amish boys came walking through the line. Mom told me this week that one of those Amish boys got down on his haunches in front of my mom and looked at her straight in her eyes and said, I want you to know that my life is different today because of Aunt Nolt. And then Mom recalled a trip that Mom and Dad had took a few young Amish boys on. And it was at a time when he was in a crisis in his life, and I don't know what all the crisis was, but somehow how that impacted his life. And I don't know what all the pros and cons were of it. But is that the kind of life I'm living? Because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, and because what is flowing out of my life, and I don't know what was flowing out of Dad's life, I don't know all the pros and cons of that, but what is my life? What is my life is the question this morning. What was my life? Maybe a question we'll ask when we all take our last breath. What is my life? Why is it important? Why is it important this morning that we would be raising that question, what is my life? Let's look at Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place in them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things that are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up her dead which were in them, and death and hell were delivered up. And death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is it important this morning that we ask, what is our life? What is your life? What is your life? It's a month or two ago now that I got word of a story. I don't know all the details of it, but I'd like to just relay this story to you this morning. A young man, it was in another state, grew up like so many young people do today and became a troubled young man. I don't know what all his story was and all the whys or what all, but he rejected the teaching of his father. It was a young Christian family. And went his own way and became a wayward. And he knew what he should do. And then in the context of his situation, he had a conversation with somebody and indicated that he's thinking about going home. In my words, my understanding, he's thinking about getting his life right with God. And he was beginning to make attempts to go that way. Possibly initiated a phone call with his father. I don't know if it was the next day on a construction job, he fell off the roof and it was all over. What is your life? It is important that we raise the question, what is your life? You know, this morning, somebody mentioned everlasting and eternal. Yesterday I was doing some word searches in the Bible. You know that we're creatures of time and we almost can't wrap our minds around it or fathom what is eternal. What is eternal? What is everlasting? You know, we're subject to time. We're creatures of time. And we think beginning, we think end. And it's hard for us sometimes to wrap our minds around eternal. Without beginning, everlasting, eternal, without end. It's good for us just to stop sometimes and think of the reality of that. You know, we wouldn't go gambling. We wouldn't go to the casinos. But far too often, part of humanity is to gamble with life. Part of what provoked me to use that title and share the message, what is your life? You know, it was interesting to me. We didn't count the numbers, but there was approximately 1,700 people came through the viewing line at my dad's viewing. Somewhere in that range. And there was people there from all walks of life. Us brothers, you know, quite a number of us and our family are part of an Anabaptist church of some flavor or another. I have a brother who's not. And my mom, on my mom's side, she's the only one that is part of an Anabaptist church. The rest all left. Of course, their families are old and raised now. My dad's side, it's a little better. Anyway, 1,700 people. You see people from all walks of life at that viewing. And I saw people at the viewing that I didn't see for years. And you know, you look at that and you look at where life has taken certain people. You look at where aunt and uncle on my one side that I'm thinking of in particular, I look at the decision that that man made in his youth. And then I look at the next generation. And I look at the next generation, and it provokes me to raise the question, what is your life? What is your life? I'm not going to have a long message this morning. I'm just going to lay out more of an introduction, and then I would like to continue going with this at another time. But this morning, I'd just like to begin impressing it on our hearts. Especially the younger generation as we look at life. What is our life? What is our life? You know, that question in itself has authenticity in it. It's not, what are you going to do with your life? What do you want to do? It's, what is your life? What is my life? Because what my life is, that's what we want. The real who I am. The real who I am. What is my life? I'd just like to talk a bit, just to remind us of the choices that we make in life. I like to think about the choices, and I'm not going to get into all these, but there's just a lot of different ways and places your mind can go when you think of what makes one's life what he is. And I just wrote a number of things down, and a lot of these could be a message in themselves. Number one is our personal faith and our personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and our personal surrender to our Lord Jesus Christ. Of utmost importance, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our spiritual life. Right on the heels of that is an obedient faith to the inspired Word of God. We would say that's important. That's of utmost importance that we have our lives surrendered to Christ. We believe in the infallible Word of God, and we want to follow it. We want to obey it. It's huge. Huge ramifications of what our life is. But then, you know, there's a lot of other decisions, a lot of other practical outworkings that we do in life, just to get our minds thinking a bit. What part of a Bible-believing church or brotherhood I'm part of is huge in where we go in life. And how do I relate to the church? We live in the world. How do we relate to the world? How much influence do I allow the world to have on my life? What do I believe about entertainment? Has to do with who we are, who we become. What about my music? You know, young people, I'm just going to encourage you this morning. That's a huge one. I, along with Brother Ephraim and Mark and Nathan, are going through Bible school applications right now as they come in. And I'm not speaking to the Bible school group. I am so thankful for every Bible school student that comes to this Bible school here in a couple of weeks. I am looking forward with it with great anticipation. And let's pray that God would meet with young people here who are in those impressionable years in life, because it's in those places in life where they make some of the most important decisions they'll make, and how important it is. But I hope most of our young people here are at a better place than some young people are with the music they listen to. I'll just be honest, it's shocking to me reading over some of them, life committed to Christ, answering the right questions. And I'm so thankful for the honesty. Then comes the music. It's like, oh, how does that work? It will have an effect on who we become in the years to come. It'll have an effect on what our life is or is not. Then it's our friends. That's a huge one. Then it's our attire. It's how we relate to authority. All these things relate in some ways to what our life is or isn't. I was going to spend most of my time this morning on my first point. I'm going to save that for the next message, because of time, and I don't want to rush. I'm not quite sure how to wrap it up, because I'm not planning to have a long message here this morning and keep us here for a long time, because I want to take the time on what my first point is when we get there. Since we're talking about life and the importance of it, maybe I'll just conclude with this verse in Hebrews 9:27. It says, it is appointed for a man wants to die. Someone want to finish the verse? And then the judgment. And you know, this morning, isn't it a privilege that we can be here among the living? And most of us, as God grants us time, can consider what we want our life to be. And I would hope that God instills it in every one of our hearts to live an authentic Christian life of following Jesus Christ. A life committed to Him. I'd like to get more into that next time. I want to bless you all for being here. As I said, I'm not going to keep it long. I'm thankful for all the things that we heard. Let's be thinking about that very question this morning. What is our life? God bless you.
Yes, thank you, brother, for those inspiring thoughts, those thought-provoking thoughts. That's a very, it's a very broad and very deep subject to think about. Think about our future, and also to for those of us that have children and have children to train and to raise. You know, the amount of time, you know, that we need to commit to that, and how we need to live our own life in a way that makes Christianity attractive. And there's just a lot of different directions that you can go with that. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to more thoughts from you, brother. You know, what is your life? It's not about so much what we're doing, but what is your life? What is the substance of our life? What is our life actually made of? It's not just the career that we have or the hobbies that we have, but what is the substance of it? All right, I'd just like to open it up here for any comments or testimonies. Brother Ian.
I would like to thank you, Ryan, for the message, at least the beginning of your messages anyways. I heard something very similar yesterday. Some of you would know of Arlen Detweiler. His youngest son passed away a week and a day ago. So I was at his funeral yesterday. Otherwise, I would have been up in New York with you all. I really so badly wanted to, but I also wanted to be at the funeral for these guys. I worked for them. I worked with David for a number of days, for quite a number of days. Pretty much all of this last summer, I knew where he was. I worked with him. He was only 17 years old. He was almost to turn 18. That's younger than I am. Just less than a month ago, at the company picnic for Labor Day, he arm wrestled pretty much every guy that was considered to be strong, and he beat every last one of them. He just whipped them. And yet, in the face of death, although he had done something quite ridiculous, in the face of death, he could not win. He was not strong enough. And it is something for me, as I think back over it and realize, what kind of an impact in our lives do we make? Is it because we can be strong enough and arm wrestle pretty much everyone? Or is it because we are known for our Bible memorization, having a lot of scriptures in our heads? Or is it because we have a life that exemplifies Christ? It was just a very thought-provoking day yesterday. I really would have wanted to come along to New York, but I was also blessed to have been able to be at that funeral. Because although I've been thinking these questions, and it's a very good thing for me to reflect on, I was once again reminded that life is short. We have no choice in where our lives end. We have a choice in whom we serve. We have a choice in what we do in our lives. But as for our last day, our last breath, that is in God's hands. And we need to make use of what God has given to us. Thank you again, Brian. God bless you.
Yes, anyone else? Brother Ephraim.
Thank you, Brother Brian. And Stanley, thank you for your labors in the Word. Thank you, Brian, for your reminder again that life is fragile. You know, yesterday morning, I didn't know if I really was too able to go to the city. My back was just giving me a lot of grief. And this morning, it was worse yet, and I really didn't know if it was possible for me to get here and be here today. That's not an easy thing to deal with, you know, as someone that enjoys working hard and you know, can't really do my work without a decent back. And I trust it'll come back again. But God's been teaching me. He's been teaching me that life is fragile. No matter how tough we might seem to be sometimes, life is fragile and life is precious.
That's right.
Yesterday, somebody, a brother, made the comment that every decade time goes twice as fast, and it really does go fast. And I'm only in my 30s yet. And I told him I don't like hearing that. I don't want it to go faster yet. But at the same time, I'm a little torn because the faster it goes, the quicker I get to see Jesus, and that's an exciting thought too. There were a couple more thoughts I had about yesterday. It slipped away from me when I was sharing earlier, and I really wanted to say them. In a situation like that, invariably you'll get accused of being hateful because of, you know, the things they were lobbying for were the abortion rights and the LGBT and so on movement. Anyway, I was circled with a group of young people, and that was a challenge that threw at me. You're hating us. You're hateful. And I was able to look them in the eyes and say, I don't have an ounce of hatred for anybody here. I only have compassion. Mm-hmm. And we came hoping that the good things that God has given us and taught us and done for us, that we could share it with you all so that you have the opportunity to choose it for yourself. Amen. We're not here to push it on you. We're not here to be forceful. But we're here out of compassion. And we hope that the good things we've experienced you can have for yourself. We know you can, but it's your choice. And we're not going to try to make you choose what we want you to choose. And I sense them just really softening. And the one girl especially seemed like she had some sincere questions and kept asking questions. And then there was another very aggressive lady that was much less reasonable, came up and really got things stirred up again. But there were just so many opportunities for seeds to be sown. And for those of you that weren't there, I sense a real spirit of love just across the group that went. No animosity, just compassion. And really, as I look back and think about it again, who am I to have been given so much? And these poor people, what kind of broken situations did they come out of? They're just a product, they're just a result of where the world's at. And I also wanted to just bless our sisters here. It was just such a affirmation again, what a treasure you are in your
Amen.
Purity, in seeking to live a meek and quiet life, in keeping the home and raising children, and looking at that and comparing that with what we saw yesterday. Very bright light compared to very bright, very dark darkness. Just a great contrast. And to you young girls here, you have a lot given to you to receive and to grow into and support. And then a word for us men and boys, our sisters are looking to us to lead the way in the ways of God. And that fire that Victor talked about. There's been some cooling off in my life. And God wants that fire to burn brighter in my life. And I'm inviting Him to keep fanning that flame. Sorry, there's something else I was going to say. It slipped my mind now. I think I'll quit there.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, brother, for sharing your heart. Appreciate that.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.